Americans for the Arts.
And support for WMNF comes from our members and UF Online, providing education to qualified students regardless of their location. Online students earn the same degree as their on-campus counterparts. UF believes it's time to expect more from an online education. UF Online students don't just log in, they connect. And support for, let me see here. No, we want to talk about vehicles. And selling an unwanted vehicle can be a hassle, but donating it to WMNF is easy. Simply provide a clean title. We'll take care of the pickup and the donation receipt. To get started, call 888-966-3885 or go to WMNF.org. Good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF. This is 88.5 FM Community Radio from West Central Florida. And you have tuned to Executive Session, which is your forum for discussion of the executive branch of your United States government. I'm John Gilmore, and I host the sessions each weekday, Monday through Thursday at this time. In this conversation, we welcome all viewpoints. We require civility. We're testing the notion that radio can still be the back fence of the nation, which is to say, a place where reasonable people can hash out the issues of the day and walk away enriched even if they still don't agree. You can join the conversation today and every day during the session at 813-239-9663. Today, Mr. Bill Grace will answer your call. He's going to ask your name, where you're calling from, possibly a word or two about your subject. You can reach the studio by email at dj@wmnf.org and by text at 813-433-0885. Check out Executive Session on Facebook. If you like and follow the page, you'll be able to follow us and see all the links to the material that we're discussing on any given day, and join the discussion there. So, here we are. It is Thursday. So, yes, Flight Leader Sheeler, would you please prepare the cabin?
Ladies and gentlemen, Captain Gilmore has informed me there is turbulence ahead. Please turn up the volume and fasten your seatbelts. It's Buckle Up Thursday.
Yes, sirree. Buckle up, get nice and snug. The week has been very interesting so far, and is likely to be even more interesting in the next few days, because that's just generally how these things work. We're going to open today with a kind of a recap of the week from part of Stephen Colbert's monologue last night.
There are so many investigations swirling around Donald Trump right now that R. Kelly is like, I'm glad I'm not that guy. And the majority of Americans think he is guilty of something. This is true. According to a poll that came out yesterday, 64% of Americans thought Trump had committed crimes before he became president, including 33% of Republicans. And yet, his approval rating with Republicans is 82%. Police! Police! He just stole my wallet. Stop that man. I want to vote for him. Okay. Trump is fighting back. He is stonewalling the congressional investigation into first son-in-law Jared Kushner. You see, here's the deal. Jared Kushner's security clearance was repeatedly opposed by the intelligence agencies. One of the reasons is that he left so many foreign contacts and financial interests off his ethics disclosure paperwork that he had to update it at least 40 times. But you know what they say? If at first you don't succeed, remind them that you're married to the president's daughter. So the House Oversight Committee, the Democrats, said, hey, how come you did this decision? But yesterday, the White House told Democrats they won't hand over the Kushner security documents. So now they have no choice but to get them from Russia. And Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, returned to Capitol Hill for private testimony to the House Intelligence Panel. One thing that might have come up were the checks that Trump wrote to reimburse Cohen for paying off porn star Stormy Daniels. It's an accounting method known in the payroll industry as a crime. Last week, Cohen told Congress that Trump ordered him to threaten his high school to never release his grades. What could he possibly be hiding? And the demand came just days after Donald Trump challenged President Barack Obama to show his records to prove that he hadn't been a terrible student. This happens over and over again. Everything Trump accuses other people of, he's guilty of himself. Oh, my God.
What's that?
Trump was born in Kenya. It's been a, how long has it been? It's been 1 week since Trump's big summit with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. The summit, as we all know at this point, was a total dud. There's controversy over whether it was Trump or Kim who walked away from the deal, though it is hard to imagine either of these men walking. But despite not getting any concessions from North Korea, Trump is still set to scale back military exercises with South Korea. We haven't seen negotiating skills like that since the Trojans got a killer deal on that wooden horse. And Trump is clearly being had here by Kim, because despite assurances at the summit from Kim Jong-un, new satellite images show that just days after the collapse of the summit, North Korea was rebuilding a satellite rocket launch pad and engine test site, including a rail-mounted transfer building, two support cranes, and walls that are even taller than the previous structure. That's embarrassing for Trump. Kim actually built a wall. Today, Trump was asked about North Korea's continued nuclear activity, and he took a wait-and-see approach.
It's too early to see, but we have to solve a problem. We have a very nasty problem there. We have to solve a problem. The relationship is good. I would be very disappointed if that were happening.
Disappointed? Kind of a mild approach to this subject of nuclear war. Young man, I'm not angry. I am disappointed. If you blast America's major cities into ash and shadows, no screen time on Sunday.
All right, that's a little clip from the Late Show with Stephen Colbert's monologue last night. Do you remember way back in the olden times, the president out on the campaign trail calling for transparency from his opponent and the Obama administration? The Washington Post may remind you, this is from September of 2016. Quote, Trump and his aides are criticizing rival Hillary Clinton as secretive and demanding more information about her emails and health. He was one of the loudest voices demanding that President Obama release his birth certificate to prove he was born in Hawaii and qualified to be president. Trump also called on Obama to release his college applications, school transcripts, and passport applications. By the way, the links to all this material from the Washington Post and the BBC are on the Facebook page for executive session. So, under pressure for just exactly that transparency, in 2016, the Obama administration initiated a policy requiring the disclosure of the number of civilians killed in drone strikes outside war zones. The president has revoked that policy. This from the BBC, quote, President Donald Trump has revoked a policy set by his predecessor requiring U.S. intelligence officials to publish the number of civilians killed in drone strikes outside of war zones. The 2016 executive order was brought in by then President Barack Obama, who was under pressure to be more transparent. Since the 9/11 terror attack, drone strikes have been increasingly used against terror and military targets. The Trump administration said the rule was superfluous and distracting. Now, Obama escalated the use of drones, and yet he acceded to the call for transparency. The Huffington Post reported the escalation this way, quote, the drone war will be as much Obama's legacy as health care or reshaping of the Supreme Court. The program may have been born under the George W. Bush administration, but it has expanded and grown to be the focal point of the global war on terror over the past 7 years. This administration is escalating that escalation. This from the BBC. There have been 2,242 drone strikes in the first 2 years of the Obama presidency, compared with 1,878 in Mr. Obama's 8 years in office, according to the Bureau of Investigative Journalism, which is a United Kingdom-based think tank. Right now, the president has now withdrawn the requirement that we're told how many civilians are killed in this massively escalated secret unmanned robot flying killer Air Forces use. And so here's the question. Why? What do you think is happening? Do you think the administration wants cover to continue the escalation without accountability for the collateral damage? Let's talk.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days.
Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare state.
Everybody pulled his weight.
G.R. was sound great. Those were the days.
And we are gabbled into executive session for the final day of the week. Buckle up Thursday, so called because we have noticed that there is a pattern whereby sometime after 2 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, something hits the fan in a big way. It's also New Caller Thursday, so if you have been listening for a while, or if you just tuned in this afternoon and you hear material you want to comment on, you hear opinions, you have an opinion that hasn't been expressed, a viewpoint that hasn't been expressed, or you have experience that people haven't talked about, by all means, pick up your device and tap out 813-239-9663, and be sure and invite your friends and family to come on in here and join this conversation. If there's people out there that you think might enjoy this or might make a contribution to what we're talking about here, by all means, invite them. Even if they are in a canoe in the Amazon, as long as they have an uplink, they can reach WMNF. So, first thing we're going to do is go and talk to, we're going to talk to Frank, because Frank says he wants to clean up some of the details from yesterday's conversation on that wall. So, Frank, good afternoon. You're in executive session. You have the floor.
Good afternoon, Captain Gilmore. I had a thought after the show was over yesterday about how Trump can get his wall.
Uh-huh.
So he can just hire some contractors that are going to build the wall as soon as they decide what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then he can give them the $1.83 billion down payment.
Yeah.
And when the whole thing is done, he can just refuse to pay him.
There you go.
Pull a Trump.
There you go. All he has to do is hire a bunch of contractors to build a thing. And then when it's done, just stiff them.
That's right, just like he always does.
Yeah, well, he seems to have a reputation around the New York development industry for that kind of behavior. So you actually may have hit. By the way, I wish you hadn't said that so loudly.
Oh dear!
Because yeah, it's an idea that somebody
it's a small market here. An
idea they may not have thought about yet. but yeah, that's an original thought. So
yeah, there you go. And then when try to sue him, he can just declare bankruptcy. He can just declare that the United States is now bankrupt.
Yeah, he's
doing anyway.
That's an interesting thing, because he used to, it seems like he used to use bankruptcy fairly frequently, and unfortunately, I don't think that's an effective business strategy for the entire United States.
Well, he's doing it already. Look, the trade deficit just went up 77% last year.
Yeah, we have a considerable now trade deficit. Our actual debt seems to have increased by a very significant amount.
Yeah, a couple trillion.
Yeah, and the and that seems to be linked to the fact that the tax bill that they put through actually managed to strangle a certain amount of revenue.
Yeah, you think?
The Republicans have been successful in selling this notion that if you cut taxes on business increases the volume of business increases such that it makes up the revenue.
Right. Well, that's voodoo economics. It was back in the Reagan days.
Yeah.
And it remains so today.
Yeah. As far as I know, and that may or may not be very far, that has never worked. And it has fascinated me all along that it continues to be saleable.
Right. And for those people that keep saying, that, oh, nobody knows that Trump is paying down the deficit, you know, I won't name any names, Simon, but that should stand as something, you know, to look at.
Yep. All right. Listen, Frank, thanks for kicking us off here on a Buckle Up Thursday, and we'll talk again.
Have a good weekend.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663 gets you in contact with Mr. Bill Grace, who will answer your call, get you ready to step up in here and have your say in executive session this afternoon. We started out talking about this drone program. Now, here's the... This is something that it doesn't seem to be emphasized very much. This is not being run by the military. This is a Central Intelligence Agency program, which means to say that the executive branch of your United States government has a flying killer robot Air Force, remote control flying killer robot Air Force. And that's in the executive branch, you know. So the executive branch has got its own private science fiction Air Force. 813-239-9663. Lowell, good afternoon. You are in executive session from down there in Sarasota. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John. How are you?
So far, not bad. I can hardly wait to see what's headed toward the fan this week.
Yeah, exactly. So did you see what Manafort is asking the judge for a reduction of sentence? Did you see the reason he was giving to do that?
I don't recall it immediately. I seem to remember that his defense team had some things to say about that, and I and my reaction was something along the lines of, really? But
yeah.
By all means, bring us up to date.
Yeah, so be prepared to be amazed. So their defense is that he's a first-time offender.
But, Judge, he never did this before.
Well, like picture a serial killer, and they catch him after 40 years. His body's all over the place the last 40 years. He goes, yeah, but I'm a first-time offender.
Right. I don't even have a traffic ticket other than this.
Come on, give me a break.
Well,
I don't know. I think that's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
It's interesting to see. I mean, you have to understand that defense attorneys are bound by their ethics and law to exercise, and I believe the correct word is a zealous defense.
Yes,
in their clients' interests. So, but it's interesting to see what a zealous defense looks like in some cases.
I think this stretches the zealous into ridiculous.
Yeah, we have. That's a very very interesting. Yeah, but Your Honor, really, he never did this before. That's good. I hadn't heard that. Listen, thanks for bringing that in, Lowell. I appreciate it.
Talk to you soon.
Okay. 813-239-9663. If you are a new listener, if you just went and picked your car up from the shop and found out that the mechanics have tuned your radio to WMNF 88.5 FM, you are now listening to community radio from West Central Florida. And you are specifically listening to Executive Session, which is in the Public Affairs Department here at WMNF, and is a discussion about your executive branch. These guys are your employees. So we discuss them as employees. We discuss them and what they're doing here. And if you hear, or if you don't hear your viewpoint represented, by all means, give us a call and represent here. And you can do that at 813-239-9663. We're going to go and talk to Bob in Port Richey.
Yeah, I'm working, so I got to say this quick. I know you guys are a liberal radio station. We all understand that. But the idea of the whole thing is you said that you're fair. You let everybody have their say, their opinion.
Like you.
And my opinion is, why don't you have, instead of running these nighttime talk shows with these comedy routines that they all come on and say basically the same thing, the guy with the funny ear that you keep running him or whatever his name is, there's a show called The Greg Gutfeld Show.
I have watched it.
And why don't you put a little cut of that on there? Some of that comedy on there is unbelievably funny, and it's not just Trump. He's going with affairs during the day. He might talk about, you know, something else that's happening that you guys haven't touched on. And they've got some pretty good comedy on there. Just reaching out and saying, you know, give that a little shot once in a while. Because you got a lot of listeners here that we listen to you guys, and we're Republicans, but we do listen to your radio station because we like to hear the other side.
Yeah.
And it helps us, you know. Sometimes we laugh at your stuff. We think, oh, what a bunch of idiots. And sometimes we listen and we say, yeah, we got a point there. You know, yeah. It is true. I would think that way, too, if I was, you know, not on the Trump wagon or whatever.
I know. You'd think that way, too, if you were mentally imbalanced. Right?
Yeah. No, but sometimes you guys got, you know, and I'm sure you're not into what Bernie's into. I'm sure you guys aren't that far left that you believe in some of that crazy stuff he's saying.
Well, here's the thing about Bernie. Bernie has some very interesting ideas, and I'm looking to see. Is your radio turned down?
Oh yeah.
Okay, good. Because I'm getting a little echo in here. It's kind of distracting. I'm interested in what Bernie has to say because he seems to represent. A certain emerging. Way of thinking in the Democrat
dangerous,
Party.
And,
well, I don't. Well, I don't know. You know, is it dangerous to? Is it?
What I had to say. I don't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I gotta go. But the idea with the Bernie thing is, everyone does want to get what they can get for their tax money.
Yeah,
we're paying taxes, and darn it, I mean, we're paying so much. Let's get something for what we're paying in.
Yeah,
instead of just taking our money.
Yeah,
we all agree on that.
I like the way you think.
Yeah, and I'm 100% Republican. I want my money, too. And so the Republicans are trying to just skim down on the taxes they're taking from us, which it's not really working either because they're still keeping the money.
Yeah.
They're not giving the money back to us.
Well, let me ask you a question. Yeah. You carry health insurance?
I'm over 65, so I got the... I got the free bargain.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm going to tell you something that's a secret that most people don't know. Don't tell anybody this, okay?
All right.
It's not free.
I know it isn't.
Okay, so I just wanted,
I paid for it all my life.
Exactly.
I got a runner on there with, I can't think of the name of the other company, and that cost me, I don't know, $30 a month off my Social Security. So, everything's covered.
It's here's the thing. If you paid in taxes, what they're paying for health insurance now, and they paid it into a central administrative department, and then that made health care available to them. Without limits and without restrictions, that sounds like not a bad idea to me.
Right.
So you got to work that out. I mean, it isn't something you don't just flop it on the table and say let it run.
Healthcare's a ripoff. Yeah. Doctors are overcharging everything. It's nuts.
My wife's
got asthma, and those little inhalers.
Oh yeah,
are $50 and $60 a piece.
Yeah. Well, if you want a real shock, walk into a pharmacy or a lab and tell them what drugs you want, and tell them you don't have insurance.
My buddy says here, like Bernie says, if doctors get free schooling, then we should have free health care.
Well, that's not a bad idea. And by the way, we're looking to see whether or not an educated population is a good thing for a democratic republic. I happen to take the relatively radical position that it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think high school
is the biggest waste of time. I think they should, when they get out of eighth grade, they should go directly into technical schools. What they want to do for the rest of their life.
That's not.
I went to high school in the 70s, 60s.
Yeah.
What a waste of time that was.
I would really like to see, and this is happening, by the way, across the country in various places. I would really like to see, especially community colleges, working with the local industries and businesses.
Yeah.
And they actually are putting a 2-year program together that is essentially what the unions used to do in apprenticeship programs.
Right.
So that you can go in and study for 2 years. You come out, you actually have the creds to go do something.
Right. I mean, they need air conditioning techs like you wouldn't believe down here in Florida.
Believe me. And
no one's going to school for it.
The Hillsborough County school system knows that better than almost anybody in the world right now.
They could have their own kids. They could have their kids in there fixing them.
All right. Listen, Bob, thanks for bringing yourself up here from Port Richey, and we'll talk again. 813-239-9663. A quick step away from the conversation briefly. We'll be right back. Support for WMNF comes from our members and Happy Feet Plus for those having foot, leg, knee, and back pain. Happy Feet Plus offers footwear solutions fashioned to make your feet happy and is a full-service shoe store, including a complimentary foot scan analysis at their 10 Bay Area locations.
Ike Riley, star of Tropical Heatwave and longtime WMNF favorite, is returning to Tampa and the Attic in Ybor City on March 28th.
She haunts my hideout.
Riley's witty, edgy songwriting and skills as a comic raconteur will shine when experienced in a solo session in the intimate listening room setting at the Attic in Ybor City.
Tell me, Mama, tell me about God and money. I really gotta know what happened to your soul.
You don't want to miss the show opener at 8 p.m., Siobhan Philidor.
It's time to let go, find my way, live life free today.
That's Ike Riley at the Attic in Ybor City, Thursday night, March 28th. Capacity is limited, so get your tickets now at the event page at WMNF.org.
And we go back to the conversation, a very wide-ranging conversation on this Buckle Up Thursday afternoon. Have you heard something that you want to make a comment on? Are you new to the station and have a viewpoint you haven't heard, or you have experience that you haven't heard represented? Give us a call, 813-239-9663. Dan, Lisa, Apple, and Mike, we see you there. We're going to walk right down this stack right here. We're going to go talk to Mike in Tampa. Good afternoon, Mike. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Yeah. How many drone strikes did you say took place under Trump?
So far, it says here in fine print, 2,243 in the first 2 years.
Which is 1,878, was it?
Yes, in Mr. Obama's 8 years.
And 50 on the Bush.
Yeah, so Mr. Obama, that was one of the things that I most grieved about in the Obama administration was his escalation of that. And Mr. Trump seems to be on a path to exponentialize it. Is that a word?
Yeah, that's the word.
We'll just make it up. So what'd you have to say about that, Mike?
Well, I think it should be stopped. I think it had too many under Obama. way more on the bottom than we had on the bush.
Mm.
And I think it should be stock. I think it should be Gevo myself.
Mm. Let me ask you a question. Does it give you any pause that this is not a military weapon? Does it give you any pause that this is being done by the Central Intelligence Agency?
Yeah, it does. I think the Central Intelligence Agency is up for no good.
They are such. Listen. I think that the Central Intelligence Agency is of critical importance to this country, and I think that they're like a racehorse. They need to be rode hard.
Yeah, well, they're world government and they're out of control, and they need to be put back under control fast.
Yeah, when I started to realize that all this explosives from 5 miles in the sky was not military but Central Intelligence, I got very worried, because I'm a long time science fiction fan, and this is a plot from a science fiction story from about 20 years ago.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Well, if it wasn't, it should have been.
Yeah, so I.
All right, anything else, Mike?
No, that's all.
All right, thanks for calling. We'll talk again.
Okay.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. We'll get you in contact. Mr. Bill Grace is going to answer your call to get you ready to step up in here and say what you want to say. And we're going to go and talk to Dan in Tampa. Dan, tell us about them technical schools.
Oh, well, earlier when you were talking to that gentleman talking about do away with high school, that's ridiculous in itself. But anyway, You can have all the technical schools you want, but the problem is, where are the jobs? You got air conditioning, and in Florida, you'll use it a lot. They don't pay people a decent wage that do those jobs, number one. You might get a tech $20-25, and you'll hear somebody calling, oh, I made $150,000. That's one in 2 million.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is, these people go to these technical schools and they get all these different trades down. And as soon as they get them down, within 2 to 3, 4 years, their job is shipped to some other country.
Yeah.
Or there's a robot that takes it over.
Yeah. Here's the thing. There are jobs that I think you could train, that the community colleges could train people for. Even if you go back to things like tile setting, the trowel trades. We're building houses all over the place, and tile is still being used. And you can't do that in China.
Do what? Lay the tile?
Yeah, you can make it.
But what they do is they bring in the cheap labor. The Mexican guy comes in and he's laying the tile here.
Yeah,
I don't know where you've been, but the industry, construction wise. With the amount of people that have come up from the southern border that do that industry, because that's what they can do, it's hard labor, has kept that industry in check as far as those guys making a decent wage.
Yeah, I don't know if you were around yesterday, but the folks that have been here for a while know that I drove concrete mixers for quite a while.
My brother-in-law did. I did a lot of things, precast, but I was... did a few things in my life. It's the hard work, and they don't want to pay you to do it.
Yeah, no, but my point is that I basically, this was it must have been 10 or 12 years ago now. It was back before the economy crashed, and we were laying down house slabs like playing cards. I mean, we would start at 5:30. We'd start at 5:30 in the morning and go all day long.
They're still doing that right up in out where I live, in between 41 up, going up towards Newport Richey. My God, you wouldn't believe how many different developments have gone. And I'm thinking to myself, where are these people working at making this kind of money to afford these kind of places?
Well, the point I was driving at is that when I backed those trucks up onto those lots to pour those slabs and foundations and sidewalks and stuff like that, basically, if you didn't speak Spanish out there, you did not understand what was going on in the crew, because virtually the entire crew was Hispanic.
Because they can pay them $9 an hour.
Yeah.
$9 an hour, and because they know they're illegal, they know they can't speak up and say anything.
Yeah, well, see, I don't know.
Wait,
go ahead.
You hear all these Republicans that call in and bitch about sanctuary cities and this, that, and the other. They don't even realize that Pasco and Hillsborough and Pinellas County are sanctuary counties.
Mm.
So I think to myself, because I still work, I'm 64, but I go by and I see, man, the whole site. I'm not against a Hispanic guy, but I'm just thinking the whole site I know is illegal.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. See, I have no way to know who, if any, among those folks are undocumented. I don't know. All I know is that when I pull up on onto a lot to pour concrete, that the conversations around me were all in Spanish. Now, those guys might all have green cards. Some of them may have been born here into Hispanic families and are just out there working in the field that their families have worked in. I don't know. But it was true, and it was also true of the masons, and it was true of the framing crews, and it was true of the rough out plumbers, you know.
Roofers, all the roofers.
Yeah, yeah. Basically the entire industry.
You're right. That's one industry that they've overwhelmed. But you know what? People like it because they think they're getting a cheap house, but the contractor, he's making a ton of money, and all the suppliers are making tons of money off of these people, so they don't care.
Well, like I said,
my problem with the tech school is, like I say, every time you turn around, there's a new robot.
Yeah,
that's taking your place right now. They could say what they want, and I think they're using them in Plant City, but they have a robot to pick strawberries.
Yeah, well, you can count on somebody to mechanize anything that can be, and the reason is because the mechanization is faster and cheaper.
But at what point do you say to yourself, as a society, is it worth it?
It's a good question. It's a good question. If you and if you have got enough money to buy the products that are provided by people who are making $15 and $20 an hour, that's fine. But if the fact that someone is making $15 or $20 an hour and the grower and packer is passing that along and you can't afford the food product, that's a difficulty.
Well, it's not so much that part of it. It's the part of when you say that they grow in the pack or pass it on. How about at what point do we say to the guy on top, hey, man, how much do you need?
Exactly. Well, that's
so
one of the...
How about you getting less? How about the shareholders getting less?
That's one of
the people.
That's one of the problems with money, Dan. One of the problems with money is there's no such thing as enough. I mean,
there is for about 90-some% of the population, I bet.
No, but you can get enough food. You can get enough water. To a certain extent, you can even get enough sex. But I don't know anybody who is actively walking around going, I got enough money. I don't want any more. I don't want any more money. When was the last time you heard somebody say, I don't want any more money?
Well, you don't. You're right. You don't hear that.
Bull.
anyway, yeah. Have a good day.
All right, thanks for bringing it in, Dan. I appreciate it a lot. We'll talk again. 813-239-9663. John and Lisa and Michelle and Marilyn, see you there on the phone. We're going to put this last break on the air, get you some information about some stuff that's happening around here, and then we are going to come back and wrap up this Buckle Up Thursday. You're going to make sure we're all buckled up and ready for the weekend. Turn that great ride into great radio. WMNF accepts all kinds of vehicles, including SUVs, trucks, RVs, as a form of support, even boats. It's easy to give, and we'll handle everything from the free pickup to the donation receipt. To learn more about how to donate a vehicle, visit WMNF.org or call 888-966-3885.
A great annual WMNF event is the Caribbean Cruise Music Festival. You'll feel like you're on a Caribbean island with the aroma of island food, sweet sounds of island music, and colorfully dressed island people.
Now I have climbed upon this mountain. Before my eyes I see.
Join us at Skipper Smokehouse, Saturday, March 23rd, 4 p.m. to midnight.
And you're listening to a very wide-ranging discussion on it, on everyday on executive session. There, that's the one. We got it right there. I had to page through my card index there for just a couple of seconds. And reminding you to hang around here after the session's over, because today on It's the Music, we're going to discover what is the theme song to your life. Stuart looked up my theme song, and I must admit, I haven't heard it in 50 years. Anyway, also, local artist SQ drops by for a live set. A live set here on your radio, on your community radio station and this afternoon. And will debut his brand new single for the first time on radio. So you're going to hear live music, and you're going to hear a debut, and all right here on It's the Music. In music history, they're going to pay tribute to Lou Reed, which is on his birthday, and feature a couple of songs from the first rap album ever to top the charts, Licensed to Ill by the Beastie Boys. And that's today from 2 to 4 on WMNF, followed by you going home through the traffic jam. I'm going to take you through the traffic jam this afternoon, deliver you unto your domicile or wherever it is that you head when you have finally made it through the traffic jam, and deliver you unto your Friday, your pre-weekday, your pre-weekend day. So we're going to get you warmed up for the weekend. And right now we're going to go back, and we are going to talk to John from Tampa and Canada, it says here. Go ahead, John.
Hey, how you doing? Great, yeah, I'm down here visiting in Tampa from Canada. And,
well, welcome to the Bay Area.
Thank you very much. First time in Florida, actually. I've been wanting to come here for a long time.
It's nice and, this time of year, isn't it?
Oh, my God. I've just pulled up to Lido Beach for the first time in my life. I just parked in at Lido Beach. Oh, my God. Awesome. So I just wanted to give you folks a little perspective from Canada on, first of all, on our medical system.
There you go.
Of all the programs that you guys should put together, it's the one you just said where you pay into the central one, right?
Mm.
I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's unbelievable if you've got to go see a doctor or something, you got to go bankrupt or, not be able to deal with your medical problems. It's the saddest thing in the world. Like, you folks need that. And, the downside is we have some wait times and things we got to iron out, but for the most part, you can get in to see a doctor and have your problems dealt with, and you walk out and you pay zero, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But we are paying for that. Like you said, it's not free. It's
well, sure.
Awesome. So you folks got to do that for your people. It's so important. On the flip side of that, kind, I just wanted to tell you about, our prime minister and what's going on. People think that Justin Trudeau is some kind of great guy. Yeah.
Okay. Give us up close and personal here, would you?
Well, first of all, he is right now embroiled in a scandal he might have to resign over because he tried to tell the attorney general not to do a criminal prosecution on a bribery case of a big company there, SNC-Lavalin, construction company. Yeah, so there's a huge controversy right now where it's come out that him and several people in his government pressured and then fired our indigenous female attorney general, and she held to her ethics and now got to say her piece last.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so he is the biggest, fakest traitor we have ever elected in Canada, and I voted for him, and I feel this way. I voted for him because I thought he was going to do better for the people, and he, as soon as he got in office, his entire agenda came out. I've never seen a government work 10 times harder for the people outside the country than the citizens in it. It's really bizarre what is happening.
Uh-huh.
They're trying to divide us on race and gender and everything you can name. They're trying to make everybody fight instead. And he says, oh, diversity. And he is the biggest, fakest phony, and we want him gone so badly. I want real, real someone who's for the people for real there.
John, so, that sounds, that somehow has such a familiar ring to me. I'm just not sure where I've heard that before.
Well, all I can say is about your president, I'm not saying I'm a supporter of Trump, but all I can say has come around to is that at least he knows what country and what citizens he's representing.
Okay, well, that is a conversation. That is what we call a hot topic hereabouts, John.
Oh, yeah, I know you folks, but I love America and I love Americans. We love you from Canada, the people united together. None of this divide everyone. I don't ever, like, ever since I've been coming to California, lots of times, I've got so many American friends. I love it here. You're a great, great nation. And don't keep dividing yourselves. You guys got to come together. Like, the gentleman who's Republican that was just on.
Yeah.
He was age, right? Like, really, it doesn't come down to left or right or whatever. It's like, do what's right for the people, for God's sake.
All right, listen, first off, welcome to Florida.
Thank you.
Secondly, welcome to WMNF. It's good to hear from you, and welcome to the sessions. We hope that by the way, you can reach us in Canada at WMNF.org. See, you can pick us up and stream us on the on your computer device there, and of course you can reach us by phone from anywhere in the world, including the space station. So let us hear from you from time to time. It's good to have a perspective from someplace other than just around the corner.
Thank you. And what's the call letters again online?
It's WMNF, Whiskey Mike November Foxtrot for you military folks out there.
Awesome. And I gotta. I know you were probably gotta let me go, but I gotta say, last night I can't believe it's the same station. You guys played the coolest music in the world.
Listen, that is one of the things that this station is makes the station most amazing. You can tune into this station and you can hear music you hate, and 2 hours later you can tune into this station and hear music that you just absolutely love. The breadth of the music programming here and the depth of the knowledge of the programmers that are putting that stuff on the air is really, really astonishing. And I strongly invite you to listen as often as you can, pick out the programs that you like. And also, there is an archive at WMNF.org, and you can go and sample programs from the archive so that you can get a hint for some of the stuff that you might like.
Honest to God, I just got here, and I think you're my favorite new station in the world. And I'm an artist myself, so I'm going to send you some of my own music if I can shout out my artist name, but that's okay.
All right, well, we have a program director here that would be very interested in hearing what it is that you have to say. So listen, thanks again, and we hope to hear from you some more.
Thank you very much, sir. Have a great day.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. As we tiptoe toward the threshold of the lightning round, we're just going to walk on down the stack here. Ted in Ellenton. Good Lord, Ted. Good afternoon.
I'm in the Hannibal Lecter straitjacket. All right?
Okay.
There's just too much going on, John.
I know. It's insane, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Well, that's how come we are we buckle up here on our Thursday afternoon, as you know, because there is no way to know what is going to rock our socks here in the next 2 or 3 days.
No, there is no idea what's coming out, and could everybody just stop about when Mueller's report's going to come out? Going, are we going to have like the squares, the 100 squares, and you figure out what date it is, and you win the money?
Listen, an office pool. It's so hard when something is this important and it involves this much emotion to wait for the process to play out until the investigation is done and the report's finished and they decide how much of it they're going to, all that stuff. It is really hard. It is an exercise in developing patience, and it's not easy.
That being millennials and X generations don't know what patience is.
Well, since there isn't anything we can actually do to hasten the process, there are only two possibilities: either go nuts or learn patience.
John, and guess what? If you can't have a good time in Tampa at the Gasparilla Festival, you know what? You might as well just dig a hole. Put your body in it.
All right, Ted, listen. All right, thanks for calling us up, and we'll talk again.
Bye.
All right, we are in the lightning round. We're going to just head down here and get as many as we can. Lisa, your patience is admirable. Thank you for waiting, and you are in executive session.
Hi, I'm a first-time caller.
Well, welcome aboard.
I am over in Clearwater, so I'm actually a millennial teacher. With a master's degree, on my way to my second job.
Really? And might we ask what it is that what field do you hold a master's degree?
Education. So overall, it's like an overarching. So I could technically leave the classroom and go work in a company and do trainings, anything.
Yeah.
I could go anywhere and do anything. But I just wanted to kind of mention, because education and the drones and all that came up, and one thing that no one is talking about is that we are not preparing our children technology-wise for the future. Because if you look, they estimate within the next 10 years, 30% of our jobs are going to be automated.
Yeah.
Truck drivers, pizza delivery in Domino's right now has a pizza delivery car in Florida, in Miami, that will deliver your pizza.
Yeah.
Drive itself. And I'm talking like general, none of my children that are students right now want to do physical labor. If you're not passionate about doing physical labor, who really wants to go out and even do yard work?
Yeah.
It's hot in Florida. So you have a group of children that, yes, they don't have patience because they're sitting in front of computers and tablets that are going a mile a minute. Everyone says ADD is on the rise. Really? Their brains are getting fired at 100 times a second.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they're not going to pay attention when you're standing in front of them being boring.
And these devices bring the world to your lap.
Yes, but also, like, with, you know, great technology, because we can achieve amazing things for people all across the world, across the U.S., but so I'm hearing all this wonderful conversation about technical school, but I guarantee you, if I went into my classroom of fifth graders, so they're 11, 12, you know, years old, and I've even taught middle school, there is not a single child in that classroom that would be willing to do physical labor.
Really?
No.
Well, I tell you what.
Technology, they just want to, they don't even think about the future necessarily, and that's, you know, a good thing to have that childhood innocence, but at the same time, our schools, if you ask any teacher, even elementary, middle school, and high school, we're at least 20 years behind.
All right. Well, now there is the viewpoint from someone with a master's in education who is out there in the field, giving us a little heads up, maybe, about what we can look forward to. Listen, thank you very much.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It, Lisa. We'll talk again. Sure enough. All right. We're going to talk to Michelle in Port Richey. Can you do it in a minute?
Yes, I can.
Good. Let's hear you.
I just wanted to comment on the gentleman who called earlier who's comfortably enjoying his Medicare in his $30 a month, you know, payment for a little bit extra Medicare that he pays and say that, you know, that whole generation is so out of touch with what people our age, I'm a millennial, are going through when it comes to health care. And to hear someone bash, you know, Bernie's got these crazy ideas while he himself is enjoying, you know, government run and paid for healthcare is just so ironic. I can hardly take it.
Well, I'll tell you what, the program that he and I, by the way, are enjoying was considered just as radical at the time it was conceived as Bernie's idea is right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, we always look at the new ideas are almost always radical, and we got to get, but listen, we are basically out of time. So Bruce and Marilyn, we're not going to get to talk with you. The time wall is approaching and it cares for no man, woman, or radio host. So we are going to drop off for this afternoon. Thank you very much for calling, and I hope that we get to talk again.
Have a good day.
Sure enough. And that's going to do it for the session this afternoon. We are going to be back on Monday. Remember, on It's the Music, we're going to discover what's the theme song for your life. And also, SQ is going to drop by for a live set and debut a brand new single for the first time on radio. Music History is going to pay tribute to Lou Reed on his birthday and feature a couple of songs from the first rap album that ever topped the charts, Licensed to Ill by the Beastie Boys. Today from 2 to 4. And remember, keep always in mind, this is Driver 1058. Until we meet again, urging you to
keep your eyes on the road, you hand upon the wheel. Keep your eyes on the road.
This is WMNF Tampa.